Dizzy Yuppie Special Features.
His section in the book, his chapter. May I introduce to you Mr. Alan Grant Sobervenia. He's our very own development management officer at the Center for Policy and Executive Development. He has served as project coordinator for various research and extension services projects of our center. And prior to joining CIPED, prior to coming to NCPAD, he served as East Program Officer at the Office of the Presidential Advisor on the Peace Process, SOPA. And he, Mr. Sobervenia, graduated with a degree in BA Political Science from the University of the Philippines, Diliman. Ladies and gentlemen, it's all welcome our very own Mr. Alan Grant Sobervenia.
So I will be discussing with you this morning the Justice, Peace, and Security Cluster. This assessment was called from the different programs of government. So please bear in mind that we are not assessing individual projects or programs of government, but the whole Justice, Peace, and Security Cluster. So I'm starting with, the previous presenters a while ago, they have been discussing the background on what happened before. But this time I would like to discuss first what have we achieved during the Aquino administration. So what have we achieved? First, on the negotiations with the Boris Camp Liberation Front, President Aquino, as one of his support programs for the MILF negotiations, was the implementation of the Sadyahat Lambang Samora program. This is the education, health, and livelihood program, which was meant to assist the peace negotiations or help it move forward in that it seeks to break intergenerational poverty, which is known to be the result for the or a root cause of armed conflict in the country. Next, we have the CPP-NPA-NPFP negotiations, and sadly, since 2012, there have been no formal negotiations, but it was nice to know that there have been back-channeling talks, and PRRT administration, he has opened once more his doors, but as we saw it, it developed, medyo nagka-problema rin. But even if there were no negotiations with the CPNP and DNP, our police forces and the armed forces of the Philippines have been working double time, and they were able to arrest high-profile NPA personalities. These are the spouses, the Champson spouses, who have been known to be the ground operators of the NPA. And one of the problems, there have been continued atrocities by the NPA on the ground. One of the major programs instituted by the Aquino administration was the Payapat Masaganang Pamana. This one is very promising, divided into three different pillars. It has pillars on socio-economic development, pillars on institution of societal level improvements. So for pillar one, we have education and health. Ito yung mga kagaran kong nararamdaman. And ito nga po, yung Chen scholarship, if we look at it, in total, there have been 1,260 Chen scholars. Pero malaki pa rin po yung allotment na binibigay sa kanila. Going on to the EPA. Depending on disaggregated according to the different peace negotiation tables, we have the Cordillera People's Liberation Army. They only came into the picture in 2014 up to 2016 for the Chen Scholarship Program. For the Revolutionary Proletarian Army, the RPA, and the CPPNPA and the FN, the MNLF. So in total, there were 438 scholarship programs that were given out to these children of former rebels. Okay, for the pillar 2 accomplishments, ito po yung mas malakihan na mga programa. These are the infrastructure programs that were implemented. So yes, WD implemented projects. Those are the Palagi Seeds Project and the Social Livelihood Program. makikita po natin, the label shows the status of the physical accomplishment of the project. Marami-rami pong programa or ang naka-line up dito, makikita natin there are, as of 2015 or 2016, 321 in the pipeline ng mga projects na po. And completed already are 3,109 projects. So dito po natin makikita kung saan po binubuwas ng ating gobyerno Aquino, yung resources. So hindi lang po siya, the approach is not just strengthening the military or the security sector, but also social development programs have been implemented. Yun po yung naging framework po kasi ng security sector yung approach. Just showing you slides po ng mga beneficiaries versus the allocation na inigay ko sa kanila. Anyway, you can see it naman po yung tagupat. I am just showing you our isang quick rundown kung ano po yung makikita natin sa aling po na another program, yung kanina po, those are the Alahisin project and this one is the Sustainable Livelihood Program naman po. We can also see na marami rin po na i-implement ng program ang DSW. Okay, for the Pillar 3 accomplishments, ang pagkakahati-hati po kasi nung book natin ay the external factor or external factor naman po sa defending the nation, external aggression. So makikita po natin. Ang isa po sa naging critical projects na na-implement under the Aquino administration is the passage of the continuation of the ESP Modernization Act. The ESP Modernization Act was supposed to have been stopped. Pero nagpatisa po sa naging priority project ng Aquino administration is the continuation. So makikita po natin later on kung gaano kalaki po yung resources na binigos natin sa ESP modernization. And secondly is the capability upgrade of the ESP. Yung RE7898 and RE10349 yan po yung ESP modernization and the expanded or continued ESP modernization program. So makikita po natin na the total amount na naiubos po for the ESP modernization program ay 32 billion. And when we look at kung saan po napunta yung mga pinili natin, this was taken from Worldwide Military Database, kung saan po makikita dito yung kung ano yung pinilihan natin yung funds na nakuha natin. Makikita po natin na majority of our purchases have been in the form of aircraft. So karamihan po dito multi-role na aircraft and at the same time aircraft for search and rescue missions. Kasama na rin po pala dyan yung mga parts na for the maintenance of the said aircraft. Makikita po natin during the Pinoy administration, 678 million US dollars yung ginasto natin. That's for 6 years. Compared to the previous during mga Pagadaroyo administration na 9 years in office, pero yung expenditures niya ay 122 million US dollars na. While other indices will treat military expenditures as something negative, for example, the Global Peace Index treats military expenditures negatively. Kung malaki yung military expenditure mo, mas mababa yung rating na binibigay niya sa'yo. But for purposes of the accomplishments or the assessment of the Aquino administration when it comes to their peace, justice, and security, we are treating it positively. Kasi kung paniniwalaan natin na yung konsepto na it's a matter of turfing or gaano ba kalaki yung kaya kong ibigay, so makikita po natin na binigive up ng Aquino administration yung ating defense and at the same time yung military capabilities po natin, which is evidenced by the increase in military expenditures. And this one also shows kung kanino napunta or kanino tayo bumili nung military equipment natin. And our biggest source ay United States. This time around, we are going to look at the internal stability and security. Tinitingnan po natin, supposedly, we should be looking only at the PNP, pero in our present setup, the armed forces of the Philippines also conducts internal security operations. Ang naging counting ng accomplishment at least of the security sector ay yung kanilang major combat operations na ginagawa. Later on, makikita natin na parang may konti yata problema pag ganito yung ating pagtingin ng ating accomplishment. Makita po natin, against the NBA, there were 7,690 major combat operations with 3,357 neutralized members. Hindi po ibig sabihin ng neutralized na namatay. Kundi ang ibig lang po ng naman niyang sabihin ay hindi na siya kasama sa kabilang grupo. And for the MLF rogue elements, 765 with 578. Ang pinakamalimit po dito ay yung Abu Sayyaf group. Kung maaalala po natin, marami pong nangyaring encounters sa Mindanao during the time of the Aquino administration. Meron na po tayong mamasama nun sa Bombas Beach and other. Kasi itong ESG po ay was also treated not just sa isa rin po siyang terrorist organization na nakatapos sa yung kabuntukan. So, mas intensified po yung naging operations of the military. Sa side naman po ng policing na ginagawa po ng ating Philippine National Police, we can see a decline in or an improvement sa kanila pong efficiency in solving problems when it comes to criminality. Okay? Kung makikita po ninyo, biglang tumaas yung ating crime volume from 241,980 to 584,750. Nagkaroon po kasi dito ng changes sa definition kung ano yung nagpo-constitute ng crime doon po sa database ng Philippine National Police. And ito yung isa sa naging major accomplishments ng Aquino administration. Finally, the Court of Arbitration has declared that the West Philippine Sea is ours. So the so-called Naitash Line claimed by China is invalid. The reclaimed islands have no exclusive economic zone. China has behaved unlawfully when it comes to their conduct in the West Philippine Sea. Beijing established the environment and the island village comes out during the dispute process. If you remember ito, kahit po nakapag-file na sa The Hague ang Philippines, China continued to develop portions of the West Philippines. What have you achieved? Improved protection against human trafficking. During the 6 years of the Aquino administration, we have recorded 223 convictions versus 39 convictions only in the 8-year period ng pag-upo ni GMA. So, kung titingnan po natin, that's a very weak improvement when it comes to addressing crime. So, how did we fare? To summarize everything presented kanina, we had lower crime rates. 64 provinces have been declared as insurgency-free. There were lower incidents of human trafficking. And also, we have improved our standing in the U.S. Trafficking Victims Protection Act. When we look at the data versus what has been promised by the Aquino administration na gagawin nila sa kanila pong results increases, ito yung pinangako nila na by the end of the term, 743,817 crime volume na lang yung na-report. But if we look at the 2016 data, 584,000 na lang yung recorded na crime volume. We can see an improvement. So also, with the crime solution efficiency rate, ang crime solution efficiency rate na pinangako lang niya ay 38.26%. And noong 2013, nabigyan niya yung 38, yung kanyang pinangako, at lumaki pa siya 2016. Medyo hindi pa nangyalamin kasi 80 yung kanyang prenamis, pero 64 lang yung na-declare as insurgency free. Pero according to data coming from the EFT, yung iba naman from controlled by other groups, naging influence na lang siya. So bumaba yung influence ng other non-state armed groups sa provinces. Status natin sa trafficking in persons, nasa ang promise niya ay tier 1 status tayo by 2014. Nag-delay lang naman po siya ng 2 years because we were granted a tier 1 status in 2016. That was before PRRD came into the picture. When we look at, however, the approval rating, galing po ito sa SWS na survey, although hindi ito yung major na tinanong dito sa mga surveys na nangyari, makikita natin na bumababa yung approval rating ni President Aquino from 2012 up to 2015 when it comes to fighting criminality, enforcing the law to all, increasing peace, and defending the country's territorial integrity. Pero makikita natin yung bigla siyang nag-shoot up during September 2016. This was the time na pumasok na po si President Duterte. So, we know it naman po na his campaign was hinged on fighting criminality. That would explain yung spike na approval rating. World Governance Index naman, nasa number 75 tayo. Hindi naman siya improved. So, mababa na mababa yung rating natin. This one is from the PSD. Yung ito po, hinimay-himay lang po niya dito the different components. Makikita po dito na the Philippine Statistics Authority has shown na hindi natin na-meet yung targets namin when it comes to the world governance indicators, particularly those that have to do with the peace, justice, and security cluster. Na-meet natin, according to the PSA, ay yung crime solution efficiency. Yun lang yung in-account nila as na-meet natin. Yung ginawa ko kasi ng PSA, they only based it on figures, hindi na nila tinignan kung ano nga ba yung other qualitative factors. For example, kung bakit hindi siya nating. So, pag pinangako mo na ganito yung number na dapat mong matching, tapos hindi mo natin automatically negative ka. After all that has been said and done, we have an improved justice, peace, and security situation in the country. That was still a major question. And if later on, ikita natin na when there were gains during the Aquino administration, at least was balanced by the negative issues na inaharap po niya. Like for example, the Aquino administration as was said by Dr. Bailon po kanina was centered on good governance. However, malaki-laki pa rin po yung number of extrajudicial killings na nangyari during the Aquino administration. There was also the Luneta hostage crisis, kakapasok pa lang yun, ako pa lang, meron na nag-problema. Yung issues na Bangsamoro, basic law, sa Sambuanga speech, and yung panguli na, yung naging mamasapan mo, incidental. So what now? Questions po dito na makikita natin. How do we move the peace negotiations forward? And this was for the PRRD administration. So we know na pagpupo ni President Duterte, biglang nabuhay yung mga peace negotiation tables. Nagkaroon ng pinag-upuna ko, pag-channel yung talks with the CPNPA. Tapos eventually na, nagkaroon ng formal negotiations. And hopes were high na finally, with the PRRD administration, baka magkaroon na ng inaasam-asam na final disagreement with the CPNPA and PS. Pero later on, medyo it went south. Problema. How do we muster support from the houses of Congress to pass the needed legislation in support of the peace process? So last July 18, the Bicameral Conference Committee approved the organic law for the Bangsamoro. So makikita naman natin na here and there merong mga positive. And how do we enforce the PCA ruling on the West Philippines? Perhaps there are things now we don't know that happens behind closed doors, pero nagkaroon tayo ng 360 na turn around sa ating naging stance na President Aquino was hardline pagdating sa West Philippine Sea hanggang sa nabuha nga natin ulo, but with the Duterte administration, medyo iba yung naging approach niya. Perhaps he's trying to be more creative. How do we improve access to justice considering the current context? What access to justice? Yan yung naging question na siya ngayon. Because for one, lumaki yung number of extrajudicial killings under the PRRD administration. These were creatively called deaths under investigation. But the face of it, it's yung binabanggit ko po kanina, how do we reconcile the issues in results matrices with the success factors of the agency's report? Subsector outcome. Armed encounters between the GPH and MILF, armed encounters between the government of the Philippines and the CBP, NPA, NTF, makikita significant decrease, 0.000. But we have a security sector na in-account niya sa kanyang accomplishment. Yung mas marami combat operations, mas marami siyang nakasumbong, mas marami siyang ginawa na pagbakan ng resorts. How do we reconcile that? We have a development plan that says we have to minimize violence on the ground, but we also have actors or stakeholders in the security sector na magsasabi na accomplishment namin pag marami namin nagawang ganitong klase ng operations. So, that's a question. Paano natin siya yung na-reconcile or is there a way to address these things? Okay? Yun naman po, maraming salamat.
Haligan at makinig sa DZUP 1602. Tayo na makinig sa DZUP 1602. Ikaw ako tayo sa DZUP 1602. Kasali ka.
Kaibigan, sikay na! Ha? Ma'am, classmates, sikay na! Ha? Mga kasama, sikay na! Ha?
Ako, ikaw, tayo'y isang pamayanan. Ako, ikaw, tayo'y isang pamayanan. Ako, ikaw, tayo'y isang pamayanan. Ako, ikaw, tayo'y isang pamayanan.
Sikay Kilos, sisikay na sa At Your Service tuwing Biyernes, alas 12 ng tanghali.
Ang sakit ng pusan ko, Mama. Ang sakit na po ng buong katawan ko.
Gano'ng katagal na bang hindi lumalabas, Anya?
Mag-iisang buwan na po.
Pasensya ka na, anak, ha? Nag-ahanap pa si Mama ng mabibilan sa ibang bansa. Kaunting tiis pa, anak.
Si Anya ay may polycystic ovary syndrome kung saan siya ay may hormonal imbalance at isa sa mga lunas nito ay ang paggamit ng birth control pills. Make contraceptives accessible for Filipino women. Isang paalala mula sa DZUP 1602, kasali ka.
DZUP Special Features.
Let's all welcome Dr. Edwin Arthur Rado. He is Associate Professor of Public Administration and he teaches courses in methods and tools in policy analysis, public policy and program administration, program and project development and management, climate change adaptation and disaster risk reduction, research methods and introductory public administration, among others. His specializations include climate change adaptation and risk reduction, as well as research methodology and the use of MANIPOS, a GIS software, and the Rapid Earthquake Damage Assessment System software. It's a software created by the Philippine Institute of Volcanology and Seismology. He obtained his doctoral degree in public administration from the International Christian University in Tokyo, Japan in 2004. And he also has two master's degrees, first on public administration, major in public policy analysis from ESPAC and governance of the University of the Philippines, and second on international relations from the International University of Japan in Niigata, Japan. He graduated cum laude with a bachelor's degree in public administration in the University of the Philippines, Diliman. Again, let's all welcome our director, Dr. Ebenezer R. Moran.
Maraming salamat, Luisa, at maraming salamat din po sa inyong pagdalo. Kahit na nararamdaman niyo yung climate change at may konting disaster sa kalsada po namin sa Metro Manila. So ang topic po ay tungkol po sa assessment po ng climate change and adaptation and mitigation cluster ng Aquino government from 2011 to 2016. But before I go discussing the findings, I would like to acknowledge the presence of my research assistant, Mr. Dennis Gimenotori. Dennis, hello sa inyo po rin. Hindi ko lang alam kung ano tayo niya at umalis siya sa Climate Change Commission. Kasi siguro sinunod niya ito, pinakalis siya. Hindi mo, talaga siya pinakalis, kasi sinunod niya ito. Diba? So save tayo na. Okay, disaster, ayaw ko na daw. So, the pre-contents chapter, so, bookmarks po ito, so hindi po ito defend. So what I'm going to do is just give you an overview of the contents of the chapter, just to whet your appetite. Namo para magbasa po tayo. I can assure you na talaga po pinaghirapan yung book chapter na yan. Global warming po ako dyan sapagkat pinagdan po ako para patusin mo yan. Diniscuss po dyan yung ano ba yung mandate ng climate change adaptation and mitigation cluster or CCTAM. Bakit kailangan yun? Tapos, ano ba yung mga bagong polisiya, mga plano ng Aquino administration during that time? Okay? So, makikita rin yun dyan. Very comprehensive po. Yung ano, discuss namin. Very brief lang. Okay? So, if you want to know the real the details, just get the documents. And then, comparative budgets po from 2010 to 2016. So, dito po sa cluster 2 po ito, pinag-aralan ko po na focus po kami sa tatlong ahensya. Sa Climate Change Commission, of course, sa Department of Environment and Natural Resources po, and then also the Budget for Disaster Risk Reduction, na how supposedly NDRR is defined for OCD na naka-affiliate sa Department of National Defense. So makikita niyo po ito, yung comprehensive po siya, ano yung mga, sino ang mga pinondohan, paano pinondohan, ano ba? Saan napunta? Sa personal services ba? Sa maintenance and other operating expenses po ba? O sa capital outlay? So very comprehensive po yan ang comparative budget analysis po. And then assessment of the accomplishments of the CCTAM cluster. So meron po ako sa hiling assessment, pero tinignan ko rin po ang assessment ng international community para just to validate, ano? And then nag-present po ako ng issues, problems, and challenges. And then conclusion and then recommendations for the Duterte administration. Common limitation po, kasi po ang CCTAM cluster ay it tackles three areas. Kaya po ang pagkakaroon ng global warming, sustainable natural resource utilization. So yan po ay sa nagsakop ng Department of Environment and Natural Resources. Pangalawa ay climate change adaptation and mitigation, na sakop naman po ng Climate Change Commission. And disaster risk reduction, ang lead po dyan ay ang NDRRMC, Office of Civil Defense, na nasa Department of National Defense. So, yun po, broad areas po yun. Assessment is limited to the performance of the DNR, CDC, and the NDRRMC. So, the NDRRMC, NDC. And then, descriptive analysis, yun po yun ang data. So, ang CCTAM cluster po ay ito, yan po composition. Ito very intriguing pala dito pa lang sa composition. Okay? So, meron tayong Climate Change Commission. It's a separate body created po ng Congress in the Republic of Number 9729. It's supposed to be yung Climate Change Commission dito sa CCTAM cluster, sekretaryat. Pero po, sa original na batas, ito po ay Ibagi, which is supposed to be headed by the President of the Philippines as chairman. Chairman po ang President of the Philippines. Siya dapat mag-preside ng meeting. And then dapat po siya, assisted siya ng Vice Chairman, who is the head of the Climate Change Commission, also called as Secretary, and also the Executive Director of the Climate Change Office of the Climate Change Commission. Parang tatlo ang title nung tumutulong sa Presidente. Siya ay Vice Chairman ng Climate Change Commission. Siya din ay tinatawag na Secretary at tinatawag din siya Executive Director ng Climate Change Office. So, siya yung sa operations, ano? So, control niya yung budget, control niya yung operations. Yan po nagiging dahilan kaya medyo nagkakaroon ng kilingan po sa Climate Change Commission. Pero, nilagyan kasi ng Secretarya. Ang Chairman, Department, yung Secretary of Environment and Natural Resources. Eh, supposedly, ang Secretary ng Environment and Natural Resources ay member lang ng Advisory Board ng Climate Change Commission. So, doon pala magtataka na ako. Ang chairman ng Climate Change Commission, Presidente ng Pilipinas. Tapos, dito, ang chairman ng CCTAM Cluster, Environment and Natural Resources, hindi ang nagkabalitan, ano? Bakit kaya? Ang information, kasi gusto niyo yung Presidente Aquino, very efficient. Kung dapat makapagkaliwa naman kayo ng trabaho, related naman yung mga trabaho, kung saan-saan na kayo. Doon. in the entire 2010-2016 and term with President Aquino, limit niya ang Climate Change Commission. E kaya, bumagal po yung pag-approve ng People's Survival Fund, yung sari pagkukulang pa ng pera ng Climate Change Commission para mag-implement ng mga climate change related projects. Tumagal po yun, baka mga 1 to 2 years po bago na lumabas po yung implementing rules and regulations. So dito pa lang sa composition, questionable na bakit ang secretary ang naging chair, ang naging chairman, tapos naging secretary ng Climate Change Commission. Wala na ang problema kung sa members, ano? Ano na yung members ng DOST, Science and Technology, DOUR, and local government, Department of Public Works and Highway, Social Work and Development, agriculture, agrarian reform, hindi na matanda. Ang energy, Department of National Defense, yung mga bulutukin doon ay Housing and Land Use Regulatory Board, at ang susunod na yan, pangalan natin, ay yung USDA. Na-request din ako, kasi pag climate change na pinag-usapan natin, kailangan pagunin natin yung mga ating mga economic and social policies. Bakit nawala ang National Economic and Development Authority? Kasi kailangan pagsamahin mo yan eh. Hindi mo dapat sabihin ito ang NEDA o Economic Development lang. Ikaw, Climate Change Commission, Environment and Natural Resources at PNC, dapat doon lang kayo. Dapat po pinagsasama yan. So, hindi pinagkaroon ako ng problema dito sa membership. Yun lang, huwag na wala yung NEDA. And mabuti na dito, nagkaroon ng cluster kasi sa Climate Change Commission, alam nyo ba kung ilan ang members ng advisory board? 26 na magpukulay ng meeting. Mabuti na yan, hindi lang nalang ang member ng cluster, no, para nag-coordinate sila. Isa pa, tingnan nyo rin kung natinag din sa book ko, yung sa National Disaster Risk Reduction and Management Council, na co-council po yan. Alam nyo ba kung ilan ang members dyan? 39. Kaya pag may disaster, magtawag po. Siyempre, hindi naman nila trabaho talaga na magtawag ng every meeting, lunch ng 39, ang nandito ang during disaster. Pero kung mag-coordinate ka ng policies, and you are calling for the 39 members, eh, gusto ko naman, makakagawa ba nila kayo ng policies pa ganyan? Okay, so dito pa lang, nagkakagawa din nagkaroon lang ng problema sa CCCAM cluster composition. Okay naman ang CCCAM cluster objectives o kaya na sila pinagsama-sama para coordinated ang kanilang trabaho tungkol sa adapting climate change, adaptation, and mitigation measures. Ensuring the utilization of natural resources. Tama naman yun, dapat din. Natural resources protection, para the same time, climate change adaptation and mitigation. Coordinating alternative and inclusive urban development plans, siguro kaya sinabi yung MUDA. Undertaking all other measures necessary to prepare for and manage the risk and or threats associated with natural and man-made phenomena. And dyan po yung Department of National Defense, kasi nabuto na ang NDRIMC at saka ang OCD. Ang chair po ng NDRIMC po ay ang Secretary of National Defense. Pero pwede naman ang presidente na mag-chair din may disaster. Ito po ang strategic framework ng Midterm Philippine Development Plan. Sorry na lang, pasensya na po. Plano na ang issue dito, okay naman sabi nila, sustainable and climate resilient environmental natural resources. Check yan, maganda yan. No? Dapat sustainable and climate resilient development na tayo. Kasama yung environment natural resources protection. So yung some outcomes, adaptive capacities of human communities improve. Okay, so dapat daw, nakapag-adapt tayo yung human communities. Sustainably manage natural resources achievable. Trabaho mo yan. Environment and natural resources, ano? Environmental quality improve for a healthier and cleaner environment. Ako sa Department of Environment and Natural Resources. Siguro na tama, lagay natin ang DNR, Chairman of the CCCAM Cluster. So dito po sa paper, discuss ko briefly po yung mga action plans po for each sector. For example, sa climate change adaptation and mitigation, meron na po tayo National Strategic Framework on Climate Change for 2010-2022. So susundan na lang po ito ng current administration. No? Meron na rin po yung roadmap using the National Climate Change Action Plan 2011-2028. Okay? Maganda po yan. At meron din sa ang Climate Change Commission, for your information, is the lead policy making lang po sila. So hindi po sila pwedeng, under the law, hindi sila pwedeng hindi sila talaga online sa policy making lang sila. Pero then, ginawa sila ng eco-town concept. So, sa Mindanao po yan, ito, unang in-implement. Ang eco-town concept, dapat na binabalance mo yung development and then also yung environment and natural resources protection, climate change, mitigation and adaptation, and disaster risk reduction, no? Pero, kumunti lang daw ang gawang eco-town concept, no? Ng climate change commission. So, sa disaster risk reduction plan, meron din po tayong plan ng National Disaster Risk Reduction and Management Plan 2011 to 2028 po. Susunan na lang po ito ng current administration po. Ano? Ang maganda rin po sa plan nito, meron silang in-identify nila yung point of convergence ng climate change at saka ng disaster risk reduction. Kasi po, sa marami pong mga conferences at maraming literature, sinasabi, lagi may away. Dapat, lagi may away, may controversial yung climate change at saka disaster risk. Kasi daw eh, mas recent lang itong climate change kasi masyadong science-based. Ano? Paano pa naman, nahihirapan daw yung disaster risk community kasi sila ay more on responding to climate to disasters. Ano? So wala silang time of project ng ano ng mga temperature change, precipitation change. So, hirap sila. Pero dito po sa National Disaster Risk Reduction and Management Plan, nag-identify sila ng points of convergence, which is good. Pero kailangan nila siguro pang himay-himay nila para ma-operationalize nila po. Dito po sa paper, discuss ko rin po yung budget na inallocate sa DNR, CCC, at saka sa NDRRC. Hindi ko na lang po bibintalihin. Okay? So, makita ninyo dito, ang pinakamalaking budget ng NDRRC administration ay napunta po sa disaster risk reduction. Kasi po, may mga supplemental budget po in response to disasters caused by yung kay Yolanda po. Kasama rin po dito yung sa, I think, yung sa Buonga Sims, isnama rin po nila, and I think it's recovery and rehabilitation plan po. So, alam ko ba na ang ating pong hindi lang NDRRMC, DNB, at OCB ang budget, meron din pong budget for quick response fund ang Department of Education, ang Department of Health, DSWD, Department of Public Works and Highways. Para daw po, kung magkaroon po ng disaster, madaling maitatap ito. Pero pang disaster response lang po ito. So, lumaki po, lumoko po ang budget ng disaster risk reduction sector. Pero hindi po yan nakakonsentrate sa OCB. Kawawa din ang OCB kasi maliit lang ang budget, pero ang dami ng problema nila. Ilan lang daw po ang personnel nila, at kapag po sila raw po ay pupunta sa mga disaster stricken areas, minsan sila para po gumagastos sa pagkain nila. Sila po ay na-hospital sa pagkain po. Minsan daw po may mga noodles na mong kinapakain. Unang din sila sa equipment. Pag pupunta raw sila sa field work para sa mga disaster stricken areas, hindi sila napaprioritize ng media team pag gusto nilang gumamit ng mga equipment o kaya ng sumakay ng aeroplano ng DNP. Because these are civilian personnel yung kung sa OCB. So, maawagin tayo ng konti sa OCB, pero malaki ang expectations nila natin sa kanila kasi sila technical arm ng NDRRMC. So, yung budget na hindi po sa OCB na nakadistribute po yan sa various departments na nilalagay sa buo. Susunod po ang Department of Environment and Natural Resources na pangalawa sa pinakamalaking budget. Nakikita niyo po dyan yung budget priorities ng Department of Environment and Natural Resources. Kita niyo naman yung sa Climate Change Commission, take down sa mababa, mali lang talaga ang budget. Kasi naman, sa Climate Change Commission po ay sinabi ko kanina kay lead policy making, hindi siya sa front line. So, it's understandable siguro na maliit lang po ang margin ng climate change solution. Pero, sa kanya, siya ang board, ng chairman of the board ng People Survival Fund Board. Sila po ang nag-decide, pero hindi po sa climate change solution. Pero, ang narinig ko, ang climate change solution ay sumakanggap ng maraming pondo sa iba't ibang blood donors outside and inside the Philippines. Yung nga lang, medyo mabagal po ang climate change condition sa paglabas, sa paggamit ng mga condom niyan. Hindi natin alam if it's the percent. Kasi sabi, 40% of convenient na hindi lang yata. So, yung last time natin niya namin, 20 lang ang percent ng climate change condition. Eh, yung kung pag-abdoan ng mga papeles po, paglabas po ng pera, ang dami yung papeles na kailangan nyo dyan. So, 20%. Tapos po, ang sariling budget po ng Climate Change Commission na provided ng General Appropriations Act or ng National Budget, hindi pa nila ma-utilize. Tinignan po namin, hindi na lang po ng year, no? From 2010 or 2015 or something like that. Sa binibigay ng gobyerno sa kanila, ng national government ng budget, ang utilization rate na nila ay 53%. So something must be wrong. So tingnan namin yung performance, environment and natural resources protection. Ano? Kung tingnan po namin ang ating ranking sa environmental performance index, hindi na sinama yung mundo, yung ASEAN Canada, di ba may ASEAN, 10 members doon. Not bad, the Philippines, in red po, alam ko, orange yan. Ang Philippines ay yung mga pamadlos at the latest to 2016, something to be proud of, oh. Kapanipaniwala ba? Pangatlo po tayo sa pinakamagaling after Singapore, well, Singapore, understandable, napakaliit na bansa. Tapos na naman kayo Singapore, siguro, ang brilliant part na nito ng natural resources doon, ano. Pero sa environment, pero brilliant part lang po, napunta na po ako, makita po ako doon. Pangalawa, kumapangalawa ang Malaysia. Wow, okay na, Malaysia, malaki ang Malaysia eh. Kumapangalawa po tayo sa Singapore at Malaysia. Ano ba? Diba? Something to be proud of. Eh, lang po ay ang ASEAN 10. No? Sa ASEAN 10. Pero kung global po, nasa medium low po tayo sa environmental protection. Something we should not be proud of. Hindi ko po i-discuss lahat ng mga mabasa po ninyo, basahin ang pili na kayo mabasa. Sa Global Climate Risk Index naman po, ito yung ginagawa po ng isang reputable international organization, kinitingnan niya yung mga efforts ng mga countries to protect themselves from the effects of climate change. Ano? Ang ranking ng Pilipinas, from 2011 to 2016 po ay between 1 to 14. Na-achieve po natin, nakuha tayo! I think 2015. Which is bad. Ibig sabihin, very vulnerable tayo sa climate change. I think that was 2014 or 2014 na nag-number one tayo. Something that we should not be proud of. Kaya kung hindi natin ako, between 2011 and 2016, nag-number 14 tayo. But the thing is, we're still very vulnerable. Is it our fault as a country? Is it the fault of the government na number one tayo? Let's be fair. Climate change ay wala po tayong masyadong control. It's a global phenomenon, no? Lahat po na dapat ng mga bansa sa buong mundo ay dapat nagko-cooperate, no? At wala na tayong control kung ano nangyayari sa atmosphere at saka sa ocean, no? So, let's be fair din naman. But then, may sapat ba yung ginagawa din naman ng ating gobyerno yung sa makokontrol na something that we can get around the book chapter. Pero, this is not something to be proud of na nag-number one tayo, I think, in 2015. So, yung climate change, ito naman yung disaster. So, hindi lang na climate change, kundi lahat ng natural and man-made disasters pinagsama na. And this is another group of reputable international organization, the United Nations University Institute for Environmental and Human Security, if I'm not mistaken, which I had a chance to attend some of their workshops. Okay, ang ranking po natin, between 2 and 3. Wow! This is not something to be proud of. Ang number 3 yata tayo, number 3 lang tayo, 2014. The rest number 2 yata. Pakinggan nyo lang po. So, hindi po maganda. So, basically, again, vulnerable po tayo. Marami po naman tayo, marami po ng economic losses during the 2011-2016. So, marami pong indicators, sustainable and climate resilient development, nakakapagtaka. Iisa lang ang ginawa ng indicator na nakalagay sa Philippines Statistics Authority for climate change adaptation and disaster risk reduction. Ano yung effect yan? Kasi yung DNR ang head ng CCM cluster. Kasi out of the, I think, if I can memorize it, 26 yata yung indicators na doon, 25 po yung pan-environment and natural resources indicators. ito na po ang direct related sa climate change adaptation and disaster risk reduction. Kaya pwede na mangyari yun, hindi ba pag pinutay po ang environment, part na siya ng climate change adaptation and mitigation? Pwede naman po. Pero kinakausap po si Deputy Chairman Lucille Celine ng Climate Change Commission, ang sabi niya, hindi lahat ng projects ay pwede i-consider ng Climate Change Commission for funding unless you can show to us na yung project ninyo ay may kinalaman sa temperature increase, precipitation change, or temperature change and precipitation change, at saka sea level rise. But there's another side to the argument. Hindi mo pwede lahat isama tungo sa environment and natural resources protection for climate change adaptation and disaster risk reduction. So dapat may sariling indicators. Maganda po, ang Philippine Statistics Authority ay naglabas po ng ganito. At least natatrack natin, kagaya yung sa peace and order. Naglagay siya per year, may mga target. Maganda po yan. Maganda po ito, may target. Ang sabi ng target po, dito po sa climate change disaster reduction, decrease the amount of damages and losses to properties due to natural disasters, environmental hazards, human-induced and hydrometeorological events. Okay, converted na po siya from peso to US dollar. Natipis ba? Mukhang hindi eh. Kung makikita niyo dyan, ako dito nakikita eh. Tumakas pa po ng 2013 at 2014 po yung amount of damages and losses, 2.17 billion in 2013 and 1.075 billion US dollars po ito ha, dollars po, in-convert ka namin. Kasi po yung audience ko naman ay foreigners, so bakit hindi naman appreciate yung mga pesos. So, in-convert ko, maraming nga sa conversion. Pero, the trend is, in the season, in the mataas, yung mga mga. In fact, so, ano pwede natin sabihin? Successful ba o hindi? Again, it doesn't look at the problem of climate change. Hindi lang yung problema ng Pilipinas. Lahat po ay nag-contribute sa climate change. So, kung ano man ang disaster na pumunta sa Pilipinas, hindi po natin kontrolado. Yung siguro, makakontrol natin yung mga ginagawa natin, yung ating mga bahay, yung ating mga bridges, dapat yung strengthen, dapat nilalagay na yung mga informal centers sa mga coastal areas na nakakaay. Dangerous, hindi po ang pwede namin yan. So, pwede makalusot yan. Pwede sabihin mo, hindi mo pwede hindi natin kontrolado ang climate change, ang global warming, ang mga disasters. Pero, pwede mo i-counter na sapat ba ang ginagawa ng gobyerno para yung mga tao ay maprotektahan sa mga disasters caused by the natural disasters caused by climate change and then the man-made disasters like landslide, okay, or flooding. Two sides of the coin po ito eh. Mahirap magbigay agad ng ganun na assessment ng bumagsak kasi wala naman talaga tayo magagawa sa climate change except to control yung human activities po, regulate yung human activities. So, yung mga issues, problems, and challenges po tayo sa Department of Environment and Natural Resources. Alam niyo naman siguro na mayroong dual identity, may identity crisis po ang DNR. It is supposed to be the guardian of our environment and natural resources. Yet, it issues licenses para humina, para magkaroon ng daging, magkaroon ng mga daging concessionaires, etc. etc. Pero, so doon po yung mga question, kung ano magpaprotection ang environment, kung kayo rin ang definition ng permit. Ayan po, kasama po din yung mga policy loopholes sa mining, at sa forestry, and then, nagkaroon na tayo ng mga national greening program na marami rin yung mga problema. And then, nagkaroon tayo ng mga killing of 28 environmental activists during the time of President Aquino. Sa climate change adaptation and mitigation, problema talaga ang leadership. Actually, kahit itong Duterte administration, hindi nyo lang nalaman na nag-aagawan sila ng position. Bravo, executive director, ito ang vice chairman at secretary pa rin. Look at fly everywhere on the world. No, pag meron mong climate change, masyadong things. So, yun ang ikaw ay nyo. Non-convening of the National
panel of technical experts. Ang national technical panel of experts, yan po yung mga scientists na mag-aaral po ng climate change sa Pilipinas at mag-propose ng mga measures, adaptation, mitigation. Questions on the necessity of the secretary. And then, main personnel, 20 out of 40. Absorption capacity, yung sinabi ko kanina, 50% lang. Weakening of the CCC and the NPR-RMC with the establishment of the system counter. So, siguro na, masyadong na imagine, masyadong na bawasan ang power ng climate change commission kasi environment and natural resources na yung mahihin kung sasaktan yung pagkakayang problems in the utilization of the people survival fund. Pero in recently, yata, I think, na-approve na yung implementing rules and regulations. Pero so yung mga local government units pwede na mag-apply for funding. Kaya na may technical walk trying po na hanap ng mga documentation. So disaster risk reduction, minano po na lack of technical skills and funds of LGUs and its personnel to provide local disaster risk reduction and management. Lagi na po rin ang local government units yan. So policy and RG. Unspent is low use of NPRRM fund. Ay, ito pero sa solusyon na ito, nakatagap na kayo din naman ang mga orange warning plugged in sa Metro Manila, manatili sa bahay. Doon po ay a testing of the NDRR, the NDOCT of an imminent disaster warning. Na-experience na po yan. May nangyari yung disaster, pangalawang araw po mag-receive yung warning. And then questions on the effectiveness of the NDRR. Sige, ay sabi ko rin na, masyadong malaki ang NDRRC para i-convene at gumawa ng mga policies. Gumawa naman ng paper, academic paper naman po. Ito naman talaga, focus lang talaga sa Climate Change Commission, as a climate change and adaptation and not integration cluster, multi-agency working. Yun yung discuss. Meron po ako ng model for how to reorganize, actually, the cluster using the legal frameworks, existing legal frameworks. I'm putting there still the Climate Change Commission as the lead agency. Kasi presidente ng Pilipinas ang chairman. Ito meron na kami, konti ko kayo ba ni Dennis, pero if you're interested, there are rules in the House of Representatives to create a department of disaster resilience. So, hindi ko alam paano naman, but if I can help, I can contribute. Siguro yun lang po, maraming salamat.